Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. Just a few moments ago, the United States Senate has voted down fast-tracked for the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the biggest trade deal proposed, well, since NAFTA. And liberals are cheering.
Hallelujah.
The Obama administration is not. The Obama administration pushed very hard to get fast track. Now, what fast track is basically a way to get trade deals quickly through Congress, specifically through the Senate. What it does is it says that the president can negotiate those deals, and then they vote it up or down without any amendments. And generally, when something gets fast track approved, the trade deal goes on the fast track. That's exactly what happened with NAFTA. But the deal can still be passed, but it's a lot harder without fast track, because without fast track, you find that, you can do amendments to it, and that's enough usually to knock it down. This thing can't be filibustered. I don't think the Obama administration made a very good case for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So what this is basically a trade deal that lowers tariffs, lowers barriers between the United States and various Pacific countries. And I have to tell you that not all of it's a bad idea. For example, if we are cutting barriers with Japan or Singapore or South Korea or other advanced Pacific countries, I don't have much problem with the deal. Japan is not going to undercut American labor, neither is Singapore, neither is South Korea. These are countries that, like ours, are advanced industrialized nations, and I'd love to have them sell to us and we sell to them. I don't think it would hurt American workers a bit. The real problem with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the nation that was the most dangerous in it, was Vietnam. Again, no disrespect to the Vietnamese, but they do not have the kind of advanced industrialized economy that the United States does, or Japan, or Singapore, or South Korea. And the difference is that they can and would undercut American wages. It's kind of like NAFTA with Canada made sense, but with Mexico, what happens? You have American companies constantly going to Mexico, undercutting the already very low American minimum wage, not having the safety standards that we have in the United States for employees. And so, you know, if you pay employees less and you treat them worse, well, I guess you can make a cheaper product. But that's not good for American workers. That's not good, frankly, for the foreign workers. That's not good for anyone except for the corporate bottom line. I understand why corporations want to do this. Another country like Malaysia is also in the deal. And like Vietnam, it is a dictatorship that can exploit cheap labor. The other thing is, it's not just that they're not industrialized. The fact that they are not democracies matters. It means that there is even less of a chance of having worker rights in Vietnam and in Malaysia. So again, it's one thing to have a deal with industrialized nations. And what that deal does is allows us to trade competitively and fairly with other countries that have rudimentary labor laws, or better than that. I mean, Japan certainly is an advanced industrialized economy. But when you trade with people who can undercut your workers, and you don't put any kind of restrictions on corporations for outsourcing, for sending our jobs abroad, well, that's what they're going to do. They're going to send our jobs abroad. There's a reason why that American workers have had less of an increase in wages year after year from the 1970s, so much so that after inflation, there's actually been a decrease in wages since the 1970s. It's because transportation costs have gotten cheaper. That's a good thing. But it's been easier for the United States of America to go abroad, easier to basically undercut American labor. So I'm curious to know what you think about the Trans-Pacific Partnership and specifically about any trade deals around the world. I encourage you to call in and let me know. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The Trans-Pacific Partnership Fast Track has just been voted down, and let's explain what those words mean, because it's a lot of inside the Beltway gobbledygook, but hey, I'm inside the Beltway. I'm reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C., and it's my job to give you the inside scoop and translate the gobbledygook. So let's go through and explain exactly what Elizabeth Warren and President Obama are fighting about. Why I'm on Senator Warren's side. Sorry, Mr. President. I think she's got the better of this argument. It all has to do with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is a trade deal that would affect 12 nations, the United States and several others. But it's really less than what it seems. First of all, before I get to that, I should tell you what Fast Track is. If you don't know, Fast Track is basically a way, if you vote for it now, and you get past the filibuster now, and you get 60 votes now, then later on it could be passed by 51 votes and done so without any amendments. So you give up your right to basically challenge it later. And if President Obama has no problem with this deal, there's an easy way for us to find out. Simply make the deal available to the public. But the Obama administration refuses to do that. They're making it available to the senators who are voting on it, but they're keeping it confidential, saying it will be made available prior to the fast-track vote. But the fast-track vote is too late. The fast-track vote could be done with just 51 votes and without amendments. If President Obama has nothing to hide, simply allow all of us to see it. And that's essentially Elizabeth Warren's argument. Also, as I was trying to say before, this deal between 12 nations, which the Obama administration says represents 40% of global gross domestic product, sounds like a really big deal until you whittle it apart. After all, the United States itself is 22% of global gross domestic product, and we already have free trade agreements with Canada, Mexico, Australia, Singapore, Chile, and Peru. And between all of us, that's 80% of the total GDP in this deal. So it's 40% of the world's domestic product. It actually only adds 8% this deal. And most of that is Japan. The vast majority of that is Japan, which is the world's third largest economy. I have no problems with a deal with Japan. Let's make a deal with Japan. That's fine. The real problem is not that deal. In fact, Japan has a fairly low tariff on U.S. goods. The real problem is with globalization, with Malaysia, with Vietnam, with countries that can undercut American workers by these dictatorships that pay their workers very low salaries, mistreat them, and then we use their products to have cheap products here in the United States. One of the reasons we have tariffs against these nations is precisely because they don't compete fairly with us. Japan does. Vietnam does not. And I think there's a real challenge also about the secrecy in this. Why can't we see the trade deal prior to the vote on it? Yes, the senators can see it, but why can't the people read it for themselves? I mean, that's really important in a democracy. This is a treaty. This isn't a secret, covert military operation. This isn't a deal that involves spying in some ways. This is a trade deal. This is an economic deal. Why all the secrecy? President basically argues that, well, you know, the deal's not final until Congress grants fast-track authority and they can still change it. Okay, I'm sure that's true. I think the point of the president saying is it's going to undercut his negotiations if people see what the deal is, and then the deal could change after negotiations. So, Mr. President, if you're not ready and you're not done and there's still negotiations to happen, then don't put it through Congress right now. Finish your negotiations and then let them vote on it. But fast track basically means we trust you to get it right. And, you know, I somewhat pretty much trust President Obama. I certainly don't trust his successor, whoever that may be. Now, if it's Hillary Clinton, I got a lot of trust for the next President Clinton. I have much, much, much less trust for any Republican that could replace him. And the real concern with this kind of trade deal is that it could undo a lot of the other things that are going on in U.S. law. Most famously, the Dodd-Frank law. Now, this is the law put into place by my ex-boss, Congressman Barney Frank, and Senator Chris Dodd. It's the deal that will prevent, is designed to prevent, too big to fail from ever happening again. It's designed to put into place a number of reserves for banks and other things to keep us from having the financial crisis that led to the Great Bush Recession of 2008. But one of the problems with this trade deal is it allows corporations and not unions. It allows only massive corporations to challenge part of the trade deal. And if an international arbitrating body called the ISDS, if the ISDS then says that, well, it doesn't go according to the trade deal, well, that would mean that a country could be penalized. The investor state dispute settlement provision, the ISDS, is basically an arbitration board. It's, you know, you ever sign one of those deals for a credit card or a bank account, or heck, sometimes probably even for software. And it says, hey, when you agree to take this software, you give up all of your legal rights. And if you want to challenge the agreement, you have to go to an arbitration board, which, let's face it, if it's you against the software company and that software company is going up against you and 100 others who hate the software, it's much more likely to want to please the big company than to please you. After all, if it pleases you, that doesn't matter much. But if it doesn't please the big company, it's less likely to be chosen as an arbitration board in the future. It's kind of like choosing your own judge. Only they get to choose their judge, and you don't get to choose yours. Well, the ISDS is designed to create a neutral international arbitration mechanism. And that, in and of itself, isn't such a bad idea. But the idea that it's open to corporations and not open to unions just doesn't make a lot of sense. And the ISDS could put penalties on a country and cause that country to do things like change its requirements, change its capital requirements, change its protection for banks, making sure that they're less safe and more likely to undergo the kind of economic depression, recession that we just suffered from. Now, President Obama says the ISDS can handle everything just fine. Senator Warren says, no, it can't. Well, who's right? I can't tell you. If I were able to look at it, I could review the law and give you my independent judgment on it. But President Obama won't release the text. Senator Warren isn't allowed to tell us the text. She says that it doesn't do it. She says the text should be released so that legal experts could look at it. Thank you, Senator Warren. I and others would like to look at it. You know, in general, if someone's trying to make you a deal and they say, I can't tell you part of the deal, it's probably a bad deal. I think that's true in life, don't you? If somebody says, yes, I can't tell you, but you'll get this great bonus, you'll find out what it is, it probably isn't that great. Because if it were, they'd tell you about it in advance. So I don't know what's going to happen now, but I'm really, really glad that Fast Track failed. Because Congress should weigh in on this, and President Obama is only going to be president for another year and a half or so. And when he leaves, Who knows how another president could use executive orders and change it to make it even worse? It's not even so much that I don't trust President Obama. What it really is I don't trust a Republican president following President Obama to use this part of the trade deal to undercut American workers. Now, Salon, the online magazine, has a list of the 10 biggest lies you've ever been told about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And it's worth reading. It's worth understanding. When people wonder why their wages haven't gone up in 40 years, despite the fact that American productivity has gone up virtually every year in the last 40 years, despite the fact that the wealth of the top 1% has skyrocketed, a lot of it has to do with globalization. And I'm not against free trade. I support free trade. In fact, you know, give it my economics background, anyone will tell you that all things being equal, free trade is a good idea. It lessens the protections one country has for another. Some countries do things better than others. We want Nebraska to make wheat and not Hawaii. We want Hawaii to make sugar and not Nebraska. And so we grow. If Hawaii were to subsidize its wheat and Nebraska were to subsidize its sugar, we'd get bad sugar and bad wheat at expensive prices. And the same is true with countries, right? The Caribbean countries are more likely to make sugar. You know, there are certain countries that do better with manufacturing goods. You get the idea. In general, all things being equal, free trade's a good idea. But all things aren't equal. They're relatively equal between us and Japan, between us and Singapore. They're not equal between us and Vietnam, between us and Malaysia at all. The real problem with NAFTA isn't Canada, it's Mexico. And by this, please understand, I mean zero insult to the very hardworking Mexican people who I think work harder probably than the vast majority of Americans and Canadians. It has to do with the fact that their government is not as stable, not as corruption-free as the United States and Canadian governments. We're not perfect either. Frankly, Canada's probably the best of the three of us. But there is so much poverty in Mexico, so much payoff of public officials, and so much mistreatment of their workers that their workers are willing to work for a lot less. They also have a much lower cost of living in Mexico than we have in the United States. Where in Canada, it's pretty much the same. So again, when you look at these trade deals, you've got to keep these things in mind. And I was really disappointed to see President Obama push so hard. I really think that if this were a good progressive deal, he could sell it to good progressives. And I'm proud of the fact that it's not just Elizabeth Warren. You know, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, you might expect these people to oppose the deal. But when 45 senators, virtually every Democrat, opposes the deal, that's a sign. That's a sign that the Obama administration hasn't done a very good job in selling it. I'm not against all trade deals. Some trade deals make a lot of sense. But President Obama, don't make this deal secret, for one thing. And secondly, explain how the mechanism works. Explain how the ISDS works. Explain to me why this would create American jobs rather than destroy American jobs. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Or you can send me a tweet at Mark Levine Talk. Or go to my website, marklevinetalk.com, leave a comment there. What do you think about trade deals and globalization in America? This is Mark Levine, back after this. Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Reporting live to you from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. And for those of you on the right who think I'm an Obama stooge, I got news for you. President Obama lost today, and I'm thrilled. I am thrilled that the Senate Democrats filibustered a President Obama proposal to give fast track for its leading trade bill. It's really a treaty, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Fast track basically changes the calculus, changes it from 60 votes necessary to 51 votes. It forbids amendments. It makes these deals very likely to succeed. And if the Democrats had not filibustered the bill, it most likely would have become law, would have become a treaty. What would have happened? I have no idea. Neither do you. And you don't know because the treaty is secret. Now, okay, I fully understand the need to have some secret treaties. I understand if we're making an arms negotiation package or we've got an alliance with an ally as to how spying is going to work. You're not going to disclose that. I understand that. That's national security. But this is a trade deal. Senator Barbara Boxer blasted the secrecy of the negotiations. She said, quote, they said it's very transparent. Go down and look at it. This, by the way, is from an online website called The Intercept. I think it's by, what's his name? Glenn Greenwald, the guy that told us about Snowden. Anyway, he quotes Barbara Boxer and says, let me tell you what you have to do to read this agreement. You can only take a few of your staffers who happen to have a security clearance. Because, again quoting Barbara Boxer, God knows why this is secure, this is classified, it has nothing to do with defense, it has nothing to do with going after ISIS, unquote. She says, quote, the guard says, you can't take notes. I said, I can't take notes. And the guard said to Senator Boxer, well, you can take notes, but you have to give them back to me and I'll put them in a file. So Senator Boxer said, wait a minute, I'm going to take notes, and then you're going to take my notes away from me, and then you're going to have them in a file so you could read my notes, not on your life. They took away her electronics as well, and basically sent her in to read one section at a time, you see. They most of their staff can't come in. They go in, they can look at one section at a time. They have to give up that section and then look at another section. I don't know about you, but as someone who's read a lot of legislation, I can tell you there's a lot of interconnectivity often among sections, and it's not going to be easy to read. But you know what? There's good news. It really isn't that secret. It's secret for the American people, to be sure. But if you're one of 100 senators or on the Obama trade team, you can read the deal. Or if you're one of 28 large U.S. corporations. That's right. AT&T, General Electric, Apple, Dow Chemical, Nike, Walmart, and the American Petroleum Institute.
What?
Yeah, they can read it too. So you can't, I can't. But all you have to do is be a massive multinational corporation. See, they're part of the U.S. government-appointed trade advisory committees providing advice to the U.S. negotiators. Now, unions can't read it, but the corporations can. And of course, the other countries' peoples can read it. Japan and Australia and Malaysia, the government can read it. If it's a democracy, maybe the best way to find out what's in the agreement is to go to Japan, because Japan is a democracy which has an open and transparent government, at least perhaps more than ours, and maybe we'll find out what's in the deal. If someone were to do that, do you think someone would complain that they're being disloyal? Here's the thing. The National Petroleum Council can read the deal. The American Petroleum Institute can read the deal. Walmart can read the deal. But we can't. That's why, I'm sorry, Mr. President, no matter what you tell me about how good this is, if it were so good, you'd let us read it. Wouldn't you? Couldn't you? Thank God we've got Democrats willing to stand up to the President of the United States. We don't march in lockstep as a party, and that's a good thing. For all of you who condemn Democrats all the time, recognize that we do good things and we do bad things. But sometimes we reject bad things, even when it comes from our president. Three cheers for Senate Democrats today. Toll-free number 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, Dave in Humboldt County, California, line 5. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mark, you're saying it pretty much the way I think all of us have to say it. Everybody that would like to call in and give an intelligent, informed opinion on this fast track, where would we go to even know where to begin? It's just,
we can't know. We don't know what's in the agreement. It's a secret. It's a secret. So, you know, yeah. I could tell you the general outlines that have been reported in the press, but, you know, this ISDS, this arbitration proposal, right? Well, President Obama says it will work out just fine. It wouldn't undermine U.S. laws. The investor-state dispute settlement provision would not harm American business or workers. Senator Warren says that it would undermine U.S. laws, that it would chill public interest regulations and cause maybe even undo the Dodd-Frank financial reform. I don't know who's right, but I do know this. Elizabeth Warren is willing to make the agreement public, and President Obama is not. And to me, that's a huge sign that Elizabeth Warren should be trusted on this, and President Obama is not.
Well, you know, we have to wonder, because I think each of us, certainly you would like to feel, hope that Obama would give you some basis in which to feel some trust in his, where he's coming from. You know, as we would with Liz Warren. What we do know, what we all know, is that a lot of the Republicans that are supporting this have done nothing to benefit the people, only the multimillionaire, billionaire, corporate, Wall Street greed class. That's all they're about. And so if they're for it, you got to be against
it. Well, and they are. And we don't have the exact breakdown yet, and I'll ask my producer, Mark Romali, to get that when we have it. But my understanding is, with maybe two or three votes different, virtually all the Republicans, I think all of them, voted for Fast Track. Virtually all the Democrats voted against it. Again, there may be two or three that did not. This went down absolute partisan tracks. And I got to say, look, I want to believe people who think I'm Obama bashing. I want to believe our president. I do believe our president on lots of issues. I think he's absolutely right. But trade deals have always been this weird thing where moderate Democrats, including, I should say, Bill Clinton with NAFTA. I mean, this isn't unique to President Obama. They want to do trade deals so badly that sometimes I think they sell out American workers. As I said, as an economist, I can tell you that free trade, all things being equal, is a good idea. We shouldn't tax goods from Japan. They shouldn't tax goods from us. But I don't mind competing with Japan. They have high cost of living. They have high-skilled workers. They are much more like us. They are the third-largest economy in the world. We're the largest economy in the world. It's just like trading with Europe. I don't mind that either. But when we trade with these very poor dictatorships, what they can do is mistreat their workers and undercut our workers, and then it becomes a race to the bottom rather than a race to the top.
Well, there's a reality that I came to know, and I'm pretty sure you did too, and it's a difficult one, but that is that in this country we do have some very ill-motivated, corrupt corporate special interests that are strictly, how do we get more for us at the expense of the people? And those corporations dump big bucks into the Republican Party, not quite as much, but they also dump big bucks into the Democratic Party, and they're not doing this simply because they would like to hope for good, honest, clean government.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't do it if they didn't think they could make a profit back. I have long argued that corporations, for-profit corporations, they give money to political campaigns. There's only two possibilities with that money. One is that it's a complete waste of money. It doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't do anything. I don't think anyone believes that. But if that were true, it'd be a waste of money, and you should fire the people running the corporations. Shareholders should get rid of them because they've just thrown money in the trash. Or we have the possibility that the money is corrupting, is the equivalent of legalized bribery, is convincing people to change their votes. And if so, well, then it is bribery, and it's even worse than if it did nothing. What other reason could they have to give a donation? You know, for-profit corporations, they're not like the Sierra Club or pro-choice organizations or even the NRA, which I detest. I must respect the fact that at least that they're a group of American citizens who are committed around a certain goal, environmentalism or, you know, gun control or even lack of gun control. But these corporations, their goal is only to make a profit. And if the money is not helping them, it's a waste. If it is helping them, it's bribery.
I think there's some well-motivated people in Congress, in the Senate, and even in the White House. I do believe there is a side to Obama that would like to do the right thing by the people. But there is something going on. There is a hammer over their heads. There is that this money is in their party's bank accounts. And there is also, I think, the threat over the heads that Kennedy tried to be independent and go his own way, and he had to be taught a lesson. I think there is that possibility, too, that that even if you really have your heart and a desire to do the right thing, that you may feel that may not be practical, that there is some, you may be held accountable by the those behind the scenes.
Yeah, I tell you, I think that President Obama, he says that Elizabeth Warren is absolutely wrong. Okay, well, he's a smart person. She's a smart person. You know, one of them is right, or more likely there's some truth in between the two of them. But you can't have an argument without having the objective facts before you. When I hear an argument by two politicians, first thing I run to is I look at what they're arguing over. I look at the text. I'm a textualist, whether it's the Constitution or a law or anything else. I want to know what they're fighting over. And the fact that Senator Warren is willing to show us the deal and President Obama is not willing to show us the deal, that's a pretty strong argument that she's right and he's wrong. By the way, I just got the breakdown of the vote tally. Every single Republican voted for the bill. Every single Democrat, except one, voted to filibuster the bill.
Oh. There was actually three no votes, like not voting. Cory Booker, Democrat of New Jersey, Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, and Marco Rubio.
Yeah, but those are abstentions.
Yeah.
Those are abstentions. Marco Rubio and Lindsey Graham are running for president right now.
Correct, yeah.
So I'm quite confident they would vote for it if they were there.
Yeah.
I don't know what Senator Cory Booker's, what he's doing, but I'll tell you this. I'm very confident. Cory Booker, I have a lot of respect for. I don't know why he wasn't there, but if he were there, he'd vote no.
Yeah, so Carper really, of Delaware was the only Democrat
exactly,
to vote yes.
To
and
vote,
other
yes.
were all Republicans.
And you got to remember, Delaware is the kind of state that gives special benefits to corporations. And therefore, you know, they basically allow corporations to break other states' laws because that's why so many corporations are headquartered in Delaware, because they can have minimal standards and a race to the bottom. I will say this. My good friend, Senator Chris Coons of Delaware, is also a senator from Delaware. He must have been on the same pressure from Delaware corporations as Senator Carper to vote for Fast Track, and he did not. And that just tells me that my friend is on the right track. I'm very proud of him resisting what must have been huge pressure in Delaware to vote for Fast Track and voting against it. Just going to show that my friends do the right thing. I'm just saying. Dave, do you have anything?
I hope you'll get a copy of this, Mark, so you can analyze it for all of us.
Well, I'd love to get a copy. Unfortunately, it's not legal for me to get a copy. And the senators are not allowed to copy it. They're not allowed to take notes. And, Dave, I'm not part of GE or Dow or Walmart or the American Petroleum Institute. So, really, I don't talk to Walmart senior execs very often. They don't like me very much. So I will not get to see this. What's interesting is that President Obama said prior to the final vote they'll show us, but that's really squirrely. The final vote would be 51 rather than 60. Frankly, the final vote, there's enough Republicans alone to pass this bill. I'm not impressed, and I'm more than willing to call out the president when I think he's wrong, and I respectfully think he's wrong here.
Thank you for being there, Mark.
Oh, my pleasure, and thanks for your call, Dave. I appreciate that. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. If you want to call in, still got about 10 minutes left. Give me a call.
He's a Fulbright scholar, and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world. Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. The Democrats in the Senate did something almost unheard of. They denied President Obama today fast-track authority for a treaty. I'm not sure there's ever been a president that's been denied fast-track on a trade treaty. The whole purpose of fast-track is to allow a president to go in, negotiate a treaty, and get it through easily with only 51 votes without amendment. So the only time to really stop it for a minority party is now. And that's what the Democrats did. And this is frustrating some American corporations because a lot of it's really good for them. They get a lot of protections from copyright piracy. They get to protect their intellectual property rights. They get certain patents, in fact, which is good for them. This is something that really helps corporations. It also, by allowing developing countries like Malaysia and Vietnam in the deal, it harms American workers. It extends globalization. Now, I'll be the first to tell you this deal, even if it passed, it's not going to destroy the American worker any more or much more than they've already been destroyed. I'm not saying that President Obama has done a turncoat on American workers. The impact of this bill is at the margins. It extends globalization a bit. We already have deals with Mexico, deals with China. They're already undercutting American workers tremendously. No doubt that Vietnam, Malaysia probably won't have as many workers undercutting Americans as Mexico and China. Mexico being next door, China also being a dictatorship that also mistreats its workers. But I'm proud that our liberals, our Democrats, are taking a stand. You see, one of the worst things a president can do is give something the other side without getting something back. No, Vietnam and Malaysia, President Obama's right, probably won't make a dramatic impact on how workers are already suffering in the United States. You know what would? Raising the minimum wage. Raising the $7.25 minimum wage. Or the $2.13 wage for tip workers. Did you know it was that low? Tip your servers well, folks, because that's all they're making an hour, absent your tips. See, Democrats might well have agreed to the TPP deal in exchange for something else. That's what legislative bargaining is all about. All the Republicans wanted the TPP. Virtually all the Democrats did not. So, let's make a deal. How about if we raise the minimum wage to $10 and then index it so it goes up with inflation every year so we don't have to raise it each and every year? Raise the tipped minimum wage to the same as the minimum wage or maybe two-thirds of it, maybe even half of it, definitely not $2.13. Let's make a deal. I understand why President Obama is supporting the corporate interests. I get it. It does help them. It makes them richer. But if corporations are going to get all this money from their internet copyright protection, their intellectual property, their patents, maybe they ought to give a little back. Maybe they ought to pay a decent minimum wage. President Obama, if you'd come at this as a deal, if you'd said, you know what, I know a lot of Democrats don't like the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I know a lot of Republicans don't want to increase the minimum wage. But I have gotten Nancy Pelosi and John Boehner, I've gotten Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell to come together. The Republicans get the trade deal they want. The Democrats get the minimum wage increase they want. I could see this thing easily getting 60 votes. But the president's just taking the Republican side. He's not taking the Democratic side. And Democrats fought back. And good for them. Good for us. Kind of reminds me of when President Obama accepted the Republican tax compromise. So here's a message, Mr. President. If you want TPP, I agree it's not going to destroy the American workforce. They're already pretty bad. Unions are already harmed a lot. Our deals with China and Mexico have harmed us far more than deals with Vietnam and Malaysia. You want something? Bring something back. Corporations, you want something? Bring something back. Treat your workers better. Make it easier to unionize. Raise the minimum wage. Raise the minimum wage to a livable wage. Make sure that workers' productivity goes back to them. Index the minimum wage so it goes up every year with inflation, or better yet, with worker productivity. It cannot be the case that American workers every year work harder, work smarter, work better, and all the benefits go to a few investors. Many of them live outside the United States. So congratulations to the Democrats in the Senate for defeating the Democratic president. Mr. Obama, go back to the drawing board, bring us a deal we can accept, and I will be here to sing your praises the day after. Promise. This is Mark Levine. If you want to send me a tweet, send it to @MarkLevineTalk. Three interesting shows over the next 3 days. Stay tuned.